It's your host, Ray Post.
Good afternoon and welcome to All Things Real Estate. I'm Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners and stand ready to help meet all of your real estate objectives. And just to remind you, if you need some help with renovation, repair, and design issues around your own home, we have some excellent companies to give you a hand. Simply go to our website, www.santafe-realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and look for the list of real estate resource companies. You know, we very much appreciate that many of you continue to tell us how much you like that we provide a lot of useful and diverse real estate information with each of our Sunday shows. And today's program is definitely no exception. And in a moment, you'll know this when I introduce my in-studio guest who's bringing lots of valuable advice on a topic that affects all of us. But first, I want to invite you to check out a very popular website, none other than SantaFe.com. Whether you are a visitor or a local, SantaFe.com offers you timely information on everything going on in our fair city. From the restaurant and gallery scene, current real estate trends and property listings, to a comprehensive business directory, where to shop, stay, and events to attend, my opinion is that SantaFe.com has it all. And if you go to their homepage right there on SantaFe.com, you'll also find information on the All Things Real Estate radio show, as well as see articles written by brokers from Santa Fe Realty Partners. So if you're looking for useful information or simply another avenue for entertainment, I believe you'll find all you need at SantaFe.com. Please check them out today and share their web address with your out-of-town friends. Once again, that's SantaFe.com. And remember, if you just can't get enough of all things real estate, please consider signing up for our new and free online newsletter, which is located at our website. Again, that's www.santafe-realtypartners.com. When you get there, just click on the radio show icon and then look for the button that tells you to view the new online newsletter. If you give us your email address, we'll add you to the list of loyal readers who are enjoying articles each month on timely real estate trends and information. As always, we have a lot going on with the show today, so please sit back and enjoy all things real estate here on Talk 1260 KTRC. You can also email me, Ray Post, with your questions and comments by sending your message to rpost@sfrp.com. As you know, we like to begin each show with a couple of minutes of state of the market commentary from Andrew Hoffman, who is advisor to all things real estate. Andrew has some very timely advice today regarding interest rates. How are you, Andrew?
I'm fine, thank you, Ray. I don't usually dwell too much on rates, at least on this program. It's a fact of my life. I look at them every day and I think about them every day. But at the bottom line is that some days they go up and some days they go down. They rarely stay the same. But in the last few weeks, rates have dropped to a 30-year low. The 30-year fixed rate loan today at 0 points is 4.75%. 15-year loan is 4.375%, and a 5-1 ARM is 3.75%. These rates are really low. At the same time, the Federal Reserve has signaled in the last week that they want these rates to continue at this level or about this level. I don't know whether they're going to go down any further, and I don't know when they're going to go up. And I think that there is an expectation that at some time rates will go up because they're so low today. But it gives an opportunity today to think about what we're doing and what we should do in the future. So half a point. When I went away for vacation a month ago, rates were at 5.25%. Today they're down at 4.75%. That's a savings of 0.5%. So what does that mean? It means that somebody with a $300,000 loan could save about $125 a month. And that's a lot of Big Macs, no matter how you slice it. So, you know, my advice is it's a good time to buy, and it's still a good time to refinance.
It is. And, Andrew, I was noticing that today in the newspaper, the Santa Fe New Mexican, there's a story about realtors' expectations that prices for housing will go up in 2010, not precipitously, but that's also a measure of the improving economy. And the economists for the National Association of Realtors also indicated that it's highly expected, and you alluded to it, and you know it better than anyone, that interest rates will probably go up as well next year. Again, how high they go and when they go up is anyone's guess, but I think your message to everyone is now is the time to take advantage of these historic low rates and moderate prices. If you don't, you're going to miss it later on, aren't you?
Yeah, this was not expected. Everybody I talked to thought that rates were going to stay around 5.25%, 5%. There is something that's sort of looming in the future, and that is that the Federal Reserve has been buying most of the mortgage-backed securities, and those funds are running out. Now, they may be renewed, but the fact is that now is really an opportunity, and it's an opportune time to take action.
Absolutely. Well, as always, great counsel. Andrew Hoffman, advisor to All Things Real Estate. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thank you, Ray. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Shifting gears, I want to introduce my in-studio guest today, a gentleman who I had a chance in the green room before the show to talk about. He is a native of New Mexico. I want to introduce Dan Monte, who is the Senior Vice President and Trust Manager, handles all of the trusts for Los Alamos National Bank. Welcome to the show, Dan.
Thanks, Ray. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. And I said you are a native. You were born in Albuquerque, though, right?
I was raised in Albuquerque.
Albuquerque. And you went to college, at least you're, by the way, Dan, besides being the trust manager and a senior VP of Los Alamos National Bank, is an attorney. So we've got doubles today. We're going to basically go from both sides of your education and your experience to get information on trusts. But you went to law school in Oklahoma, right?
Actually, at Creighton in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha, Nebraska, sorry.
Right.
You spent some time on Capitol Hill as well in Washington.
I did. Spent about a year in D.C.
But as we were talking about it, you can't imagine being anywhere but, Los Alamos National Bank for sure is an employer, but in Santa Fe. Is that right?
Yeah, Santa Fe is home. I have no intentions of leaving.
Good. Well, the bank's lucky to have you as well. Anyway, what we want to do is frame for everyone today a variety of issues associated with trusts, with the simple concept that, you know, at some point in your life, you out there, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, are going to have property that you may want to pass on to your heirs. And Dan is an expert on what you need to do to anticipate those kinds of issues down the road. So, first of all, I want to ask you, what is your day like as the trust manager for Los Alamos National Bank? What do you do?
Primary responsibilities are oversee the management of trusts and estates. You know, as a trust department, a lot of banks do have trust departments. LANB happens to be one of them. And what we do is we serve in a variety of different capacities. For instance, as executor or personal representative of an estate after somebody has passed away, we'll serve as trustee of a variety of different types of trust that people have created.
Mm-hmm. And how typically, or is there a typical way that your clients or customers come to you and Los Alamos National Bank for this particular service?
You know, through a variety of different means. You know, first and foremost, probably just the reputation of the bank,
which is very good.
Yeah. And then also referrals from different sources.
Mm-hmm. So probably some from lawyers as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's a fairly small pool of estate planning attorneys, for instance, in Santa Fe. Mm-hmm. So the referrals, you know, do come largely from attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I guess from a real estate standpoint, of course, the show deals with real estate, so we're going to be focusing on the trust-related and financial planning issues associated with getting your property set up for passing it on and the like. But what are some of the fundamental issues, 1, 2, 3, that a homeowner should understand about why it's important to focus on this activity maybe right now?
I think, you know, what I can speak to is from an estate planning perspective. You know, what's very important is that the individual understands, number one, how their real estate is titled, and what exactly will happen to that real estate upon their passing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's, I think, a good starting off point as far as, you know, from an estate planning perspective. They need to understand, you know, what is going to happen when they pass.
And we're going to talk about that because when you go to a settlement, you've just bought a property, whether it's the first time or this is the 10th time you've purchased property. The title attorney or the processor is going to look at you and say, well, how do you want to put this property in what way? What name do you want to put it? And there are several ways that you can select. And we're going to go into that a little bit more deeply as we get into the show. Tenants in common, joint tenancy, tenants in the entirety. There are all sorts of options that you have, but they also are impactful from a trust standpoint, aren't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so the right selection for you and what your plans are at the front end can make a lot of difference about what happens down the road.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, Gino Thompson, why don't we take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dan Monte with Los Alamos National Bank. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute.
Now, here's your host, Associate Broker with Santa Fe Realty Partners, Ray Post.
Welcome back to All Things Real Estate, and today we are talking about all things trust-related, and we're going to get into probate and all sorts of different forms of ownership of property that you out there need to think about as you're putting together your plan for passing things on to your heirs. But before we go back into that, I want to remind you that Linson's Incorporated, a family-owned and operated business, has been offering fabrics and custom upholstery services for more than 30 years. Now, if you haven't been by Linson's showroom, I suggest you stop by the Santa Fe Institution and check out the more than 450 lines of fabric, custom bedding, and upholstery services they have to offer. Linson's is a major destination for interior designers, decorators, and Santa Fe homeowners, and ships its products to clients all over the world. Linson's is located at 1305 Cerrillos Road, and I encourage you to stop by and say hello to our friend Loopy Linson and her helpful staff, Linson's, for all your fabric and custom upholstery needs. And you know, I always tell my clients that they should be thoughtful in their choice of a realtor, a lender, and other real estate professionals to work with, and you should be just as discriminating in your choice of a title insurance company. My top recommendation, Fidelity National Title Insurance Company, of course. You see, Fidelity National is the nation's giant of title insurance companies with a personal Santa Fe approach. Their services are customized to meet the particular needs of each and every person and property. With Fidelity, your transaction runs smooth and safe with no surprises. So choose experienced, knowledgeable professionals to assist you with your own real estate questions and transaction needs. Call my friends at Team Fidelity at 505-995-8800 or email them at their free and confidential question and customer service department. That's santafe@fnf.com. I want you to choose wisely. Choose Fidelity. I know you'll appreciate the difference. Excuse me. I also want to remind you that, speaking of Fidelity National Title, Steve Riemann, who is the Santa Fe area manager for Fidelity National Title, is actually going to be the host of the show on the 20th of December. I'm going to be out of town for a couple of days, and Steve, who Gino Thompson, my producer, was telling me, Ray, he's a pro. He'll know exactly what to do. I know he's listening to the show today. So not to get nervous, Steve, we're going to have everything all worked out for you, but he'll do a great job, and I know it'll be a really lively show. I want you to mark down on your calendar December 20th. Anyway, back to my in-studio guest, Dan Monte, with Los Alamos National Bank. Dan is the Senior VP and Trust Manager for LANB. And we started to frame what trusts are all about, and we sort of teased you a little bit about what you should do if you're at the settlement table and you just are asked the question, how do I put this, the title attorney or the processor asks you, how do you want to have your property put into an ownership category? And the choices are several. So talk a little bit about the different types of choices someone would have.
Okay. The few that I'll mention, first I think would be tenancy in common, which is a form of ownership between two or more people, where at the first death of one of those owners, basically what's going to happen with, let's just say it's property, Ray, that you and I own as tenants in common. If I drop dead, basically my one half is a half that I can pass on to whomever I choose.
That's going to happen after the show, isn't it? Hopefully. All right.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Another form is joint tenancy. Same example, you and I own property as joint tenants, and I drop dead, that my one-half interest is going to come to you automatically. Other form of ownership would be in a trust, for instance, that the owner may have established prior to the actual closing on the purchase of that property. At his or her death, the ownership of that property basically is not going to be subject to probate. It's going to be subject to disposition in accordance with the terms of the trust.
Now, I got a question, Dan, here from people who are starting emailing us, and this was I actually mentioned one to you, but I'm going to go to a different one here. This one's from Fran. She must have been just listening to you. Can you change the ownership of a property after your settlement for planning purposes, if I wanted to put together a estate plan?
Yeah, absolutely. And your attorney, hopefully you'd be working with an attorney through the estate planning process, and that attorney, assuming that he or she is, you know, doing everything that they're supposed to, they're going to definitely want to know how all of your real estate is titled And again, he or she will advise you, is that the correct form of ownership?
Yeah.
If not, that attorney will make whatever changes need to be made. So the short answer is yes, and
yes.
It's a pretty simple conveyance.
Okay, so and actually that becomes important because, as you were telling me during the break, people can be frustrated if, in fact, the kind of ownership that they have with a particular property somewhat complicates their estate planning initiatives, right?
It can not only complicate it or frustrate it, it can actually defeat what their estate plan or what their intended estate plan was. A very good example, if I may, mm-hmm. would be, you know, a mother, for instance, whose husband has passed. She owns a piece of real estate. She titles that property for whatever reason jointly with maybe one of the kids that actually lives here with her.
Mm-hmm.
Her estate plan, however, says that she wants everything that she owns to go to her five kids equally.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that's going to happen is the joint tenancy is automatically, at mom's death, that property is going to pass to that one child.
Uh-huh.
And her will or her trust, for instance, says, I want it to go to all five kids. Well, that's not exactly it's not what's going to happen at her passing.
Mm-hmm. And we were actually during the break as well laughing with Gino Thompson, the producer. Now, Gino's a young man here, but one of the questions I received, which I mentioned to you, Dan, from Bill, was when is the right time to start thinking about getting a plan together for passing on my property? It may not be front of mind with someone like Gino Thompson, but that doesn't necessarily mean it shouldn't be, right?
Absolutely. It really is. It's never too early, in my opinion, to start thinking about and putting together an estate plan. Estate planning is a very broad subject. You know, an estate plan can be as simple as how you have all of your assets titled. It can be a last will and testament. It could be a more complicated trust. It's just there's a very broad spectrum of what estate planning is.
Is there, Dan, whether you are very rich or not, it really doesn't make any difference because at the end of the day, once you do pass away, you do have something that you want to pass on perhaps to your heirs. And so if you don't have a plan in place, no matter what your income is, it's not a good thing, correct?
Correct. And providing those instructions, you know, whether it be in the form of a will or a trust, can be invaluable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't provide those instructions, the state of New Mexico or whatever state you're a resident of, they will have an estate plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it may or may not be exactly what you want. So
mm-hmm.
taking control of your estate, whether you're, you know, have very little or whether you are extremely wealthy, taking control of those assets and directing what's going to happen to them after you have passed, in my opinion, is very important.
Excellent counsel. You know, Gino Thompson, we've reached that point in the show when it's time once again for our legal topic of the week, brought to us by the Reuben Katz Law Firm. This week, attorney Janice Ahern will offer her thoughts on how property can be divided legally when offered for sale. Basically, property may be divided in two ways, either as separate lots for sale or divided into separate ownership under the condominium form of ownership. Before you can consider the division of ownership for real property, one must review the restrictions under Santa Fe's land development laws. The city does not and cannot restrict the form of ownership. However, a property owner must abide by the density or number of dwelling units that are allowed on a lot before dividing it. A property owner must also abide by what is permitted when dividing ownership under the condominium form of ownership. City regulations also allow for one accessory dwelling unit per lot, but because this unit is not a primary residence, an accessory dwelling does not count towards the calculation used to determine allowable dwelling density. However, if all dwelling units are to be sold separately, the city of Santa Fe would consider each dwelling to be a primary residence, and under this scenario, the accessory dwelling unit is in fact counted to determine the number of units permitted on each lot. Another requirement calls for two parking spaces on the lot per each primary dwelling unit. Also, a property owner needs to be aware of various setback requirements that are different for accessory dwellings as opposed to primary structures. Attorney Ahern advises that if you're considering any changes to your own property or any type of division of property in advance of selling it, you should check first with the City of Santa Fe's zoning office. Officials at this office are actually available on a walk-in basis on Mondays from 1:30 to 4:30 and Fridays from 8:30 to 11:30, and Janice Ahern strongly recommends that you contact them or take advantage of those walk-in opportunities. I want to, again, thank Attorney Janice Ahern for providing us with a very useful legal topic of the week. If you have your own legal questions regarding the division of any property you wish to sell, And I know this was a little confusing and complicated, so please go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and then go right to the Reuben Katz Law Firm logo. Dan, you're friends with Janice, aren't you?
I am, actually.
And she sent her regards, and she actually told me that to make sure that I didn't have you give any on-air comments about her commentary. any questions that you might have for Janice?
I just thought it was brilliant.
Brilliant, excellent. Anyway, Gino Thompson, let's take a quick break here on All Things Real Estate. Please stay tuned. We're going to continue our conversation with Dan Monte from Los Alamos National Bank. We'll be back in a minute by going to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com, clicking on the radio show icon, and go right to the radio show webpage. I also want to take a moment to remind you that you can enjoy the commentary you hear each Sunday on All Things Real Estate by signing up for our new and free online newsletter. Once again, go to our website, www.santafe realtypartners.com. Click on the radio show icon and then look for the button that tells you to view the new online newsletter. When you click on this button, you'll be taken to our latest articles on a range of real estate topics. Not only do brokers in our firm provide you with thoughtful observations on the state of the market and news on property in New Mexico, but our radio show sponsors also offer useful commentary on everything that is happening in the world of real estate. Now, if you want to sign up for yourself, we'll add your name to the list of loyal readers and listeners who are enjoying our free and online newsletter each month. So again, go to our website and read and receive our free monthly newsletter. Go to www.santafe realtypartners.com, click on the radio show icon, and then look for the online newsletter button. I'm having some difficulties today. I apologize. Anyway, thank you for that. Back to my conversation with Dan Monte with Los Alamos National Bank. Dan, you framed very nicely for the listeners what trusts are all about, but part of this, actually the big part of it, the guts of it, is probate. And people hear the word probate and they freeze up. And so let's talk a little bit about it. What is it and what should they not be afraid of about it?
Okay. Probate is, in its simplest terms, it's a process through which, it is a judicial process, it does involve the court, but it is a process through which title to assets, not just real estate, but any title, any asset that has a title, it's a process to clear title to those assets after somebody has passed away.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody has left a last will and testament that says how they want these assets distributed, then basically that's the roadmap or the instructions to the court about how those assets are to be distributed. If somebody has died without a will, then basically the statutes of the state of New Mexico are going to provide the instructions or the roadmap as to who is going to receive those assets now that the owner is deceased.
And you said that here in New Mexico, unlike some other states, we have a very good probate system and laws are on the books that dictate this process, correct?
We have a wonderful probate system here. New Mexico has adopted what's referred to as the Uniform Probate Code. Not all states have. The probate system, if you will, from state to state is going to vary. Some states, it's a very difficult process. I happen to be licensed in two states, one of which is in the Midwest. It's a very difficult process to go through in that state. It's very timely. And very expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Here in New Mexico, on the other hand, our statutes are written in such a way where it is designed to be very user-friendly and hopefully a fairly inexpensive process.
So, that really comes to me with a question that I've received from other people over time is that if they don't have a will, and here in New Mexico, they're sort of lucky compared to being in another state. The process is, as you said, a little bit more user-friendly to get them to the point that they need to be to. Right?
Correct.
And talk about it a little bit. When you say cost, it's hard, probably there's no one-size-fits-all, but if someone was looking at the probate process here in New Mexico, what is generally the cost to them?
Well, here in New Mexico, you can actually, we have two different courts that you can go through. We do have probate courts. Those are courts that, you know, essentially are designed for individuals to go through the process without an attorney. So you can go through that process for virtually, you know, no cost. Mm. The clerk of those courts are usually wonderful. If you walk in, for instance, if your mother or father has passed away, walk into one of those courts, and the clerk of that court typically is going to hand you all of the forms and walk you through them and tell you what you need to do.
I've received an email which talks about this. It's a cost. Actually, it's a twofer from Susan. What are the typical costs to get an estate plan together? That's a little bit different question. But she also asks, do I absolutely need to have an attorney representing me in the probate process?
No, as I was just mentioning, you know, through the probate court, through mm-hmm. the county probate courts, you do not have to have an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Depending, it's difficult for me to sit here and say absolutely you wouldn't need an attorney.
Right.
Depending, every estate is
different.
There may be some, you know, complexities of the estate where you would be well advised having an attorney if it looks like it's going to be a contested estate or a difficult estate for a variety of different reasons. It would be my opinion that you have counsel to take you through that process.
Now, you focus a lot and you oversee the trust activities of Los Alamos National Bank and estate planning. If someone doesn't have a plan, they don't need to necessarily go to an attorney to get a will set up. They could actually come to sit down with you folks and put together an estate plan?
Well, actually, you know, what they can do at Los Alamos National Bank is what I will do is sit down with the individual and talk about estate planning, what their options are, and, you know, maybe try to guide them a little bit on what they should be considering. We don't actually draft the estate planning documents at the bank. We will consult with them and guide them the best that we can, but we typically end up referring them to a variety of different estate planning attorneys the area.
And getting into that, for someone out there, what are the benefits of a trust, and what does that mean if I have a trust? What does it mean to the average person out there?
A trust is something that a lot of people tend to think is something that's only for the very wealthy. And that, you know, simply is not true. Almost anybody can benefit from a trust in one form or another. I'm not saying that everybody has to have a trust, but it is something that can benefit just about anybody depending on their circumstances. In its simplest term, a trust is simply an agreement between you and your trustee. And initially, the trustee is going to be you. So, Ray, if you create a trust today,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be the one who creates the trust, and you're also going to be the trustee.
Mm-hmm.
So you have full control over all of the assets that are in that trust for as long as you're alive and or competent. It's after if you become incapacitated
right.
or it's your death,
right.
that's when the successor's trustee is going to step in and take over the management of the assets in that trust and, again, follow the instructions that you've provided in that document.
And, of course, we're talking about real estate and the advantages of titling property in the name of a trust. What are some of the disadvantages?
The disadvantages of having a trust?
Yes.
Well, you know, I really can't think of disadvantages. You know, just at the outset, probably having an attorney draft a trust for you
mm-hmm.
versus a last will and testament. The cost is going to be a little bit heavier there, but you're avoiding any costs that may come later through the probate process. I really can't give any disadvantages to having a trust.
Mm-hmm. And I guess going back to what you were saying before, because New Mexico has such a good probate system in place, does that somewhat argue that maybe New Mexicans don't have to be quite as concerned about having a trust together as they might if they were living in a different state because there is a good probate system here?
I think it certainly lends an awful lot of argument towards not having a trust in the state of New Mexico, but there are a lot of other reasons why you would want to have a trust. And a very good example is if you own real estate, which many people do. They may have a second or third home in Colorado, Arizona, Florida, wherever it may be. If you have a trust that you've created here,
uh-huh.
typically you're going to transfer the ownership of that real estate in those other states into that trust. So what that means is that at your death, you're not going to end up with a probate in those other states.
We're getting are we being attacked, Gino?
Yes.
Oh, that's not the thing that they do for making sure that the system works? Are we still on the air? I guess we are. I tell you what, why don't we take a quick break here and let the government do their thing so we all know that the radio station's operating and we are a center of command here in case we do have a nuclear attack. So we'll be back here on All Things Real Estate in a minute. Welcome back to All Things Real Estate. This is Ray Post with Santa Fe Realty Partners, and by the sound of that music, you know that we are up to the Open House of the Week segment, actually brought to you by Dan Monte's company, Los Alamos National Bank. Today I have my good friend and colleague from Santa Fe Realty Partners, Nancy Lehrer, on the line. Good afternoon, Nancy. How are you?
Good afternoon, Ray.
Thank you for the opportunity for me to tell your listeners about this very special property. This fantastic estate is located in the northwest area of Santa Fe County in La Tierra Nueva. It's approximately 15 minutes from downtown Santa Fe. The home was custom designed and built by Doug McDowell Construction Company. The style is a classic Pueblo design, built in 1995, approximately 5,752 square feet with a master suite, two guest bedrooms, five baths, separate living and dining rooms, an office, and a gourmet eat-in kitchen. Some of the outstanding features include hand-carved doors, sotilla tile and wood floors, diamond plaster walls, and six wood-burning fireplaces. What I particularly love, Ray, about this home are the ceilings. Each room has a different design using latias, corbels, and vigas. An oversized three-car garage with a professional wine cellar complete this very special home. The house was built on the highest point of the property, which consists of 12 acres, and has panoramic views of the mountains. There is plenty of room to build a guest house and a barn. Horses are permitted and welcomed in La Tierra Nueva. Surrounding the home are lush gardens and lawns, and the bonus is the heated swimming pool in the backyard. This special property is being offered for $2,500,000. Ray, I am the owner broker of this property and would welcome the opportunity to discuss it with any of your listeners if they would like further information. I can be contacted at Santa Fe Realty Partners, 505-982-6207.
Great summary, Nancy. Fabulous property. I'm looking at the pictures here. Actually, I showed one of your brochures to Dan Monte, and he may be calling you. I don't know. He had sort of a gleam in his eye when
Great.
He saw it. But seriously, this is sort of an exception. Nancy is not doing an open house at the property today. However, it is so special, we wanted to have the listeners know about it. And again, if you want to get a hold of Nancy and are interested in talking to her about it, again, her number is 505-982-6207. That's the office, and you can be turned right over to her. What's your cell phone, by the way, too?
505-490-9565.
And I want to tell the listeners that if they're interested in this property, they can also go to our website, www.santafe.realtypartners.com. They can click on the broker column that's on the left-hand side. It'll take you right to Nancy, and right there you'll be able to look at all these terrific pictures of the property. So enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Thank you, Nancy, for sharing this with the listeners. I hope someone gives you a call.
Great. Thanks, Ray, and have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Back to Dan Monte here in the studio today. We're talking about a variety of issues associated with establishing trusts, the value of trusts, what probate is, why you shouldn't be afraid of it, why New Mexico as a state is one of the more user-friendly jurisdictions for handling probate matters. There are a couple of the questions that have come up, Dan. I have one here. Is that if a couple lives together in a house that's titled in only one partner's name and that partner dies, what happens to the house in regard to the surviving spouse?
What would happen in that situation is going to be answered by the individual's, hopefully, his last will and testament, assuming that he has one. If, you know, a common example, a husband and wife own a home together, the home may, for whatever reason, be titled just in the name of one of the spouses. For instance, maybe it's a second marriage, and they never got around to actually titling the home in both of their names.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen, basically, at that first death, the owner's death, is going to be controlled by the terms of his or her last will and testament. And hopefully that document is going to provide the instructions that, you know, the surviving spouse is to receive the home outright or is to be allowed to live in the home. So, you know, unfortunately, it's not a real simple answer. It really is going to be a function of what their estate planning documents provide.
And we were talking about probate, and you gave a very good summary of what it's all about and the process, again, working so well here in New Mexico. I'm just curious, does all property have to go through probate when someone passes away?
It does not. Any asset that is titled in joint tenancy automatically passes to the surviving joint tenant.
Mm-hmm.
Assets that have a beneficiary to them, for instance, a retirement account or life insurance policy, a bank or a brokerage account that has a POD, pay on death beneficiary, the ownership of that account is automatically going to pass to that individual, to the named beneficiary at the owner's death.
And what about federal income tax? When someone passes away, does their estate have to pay federal income tax?
There's the estate. Yes, if the estate continues on for some time, the estate does become or can become a tax-paying entity, if you will, would be required to file an income tax return.
And are there ways that you can avoid that kind of post-death federal income tax liability?
In most situations, what's going to happen is the estate is going to get administered, hopefully, fairly quickly. The assets are going to pass to the named beneficiaries, and the tax implications are not going to be significant. Now we're talking, that was income tax.
Right.
There are estate tax implications. That is a separate tax, and that is a very big reason why somebody does need to consult with, you know, their CPA, their estate tax planning attorney to make certain that their estate is not going to be too adversely affected by the estate tax, because there's a lot you can do to minimize the effect of the estate tax.
Really burdened by it. I have another email question here. Is can't I just give all my property away before I die and avoid estate taxes?
A lot of people try to do that or hope to do that. Unfortunately, the government has something to say about that. There are gift tax.
They're funny about that, aren't they?
That
was a question from Susan. Thank you, Susan. So anyway, the counsel to Susan is no. But your, I guess the corollary answer is this begs the question about having a good plan so you can at least somewhat minimize your taxes, at least the federal tax, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and specifically with New Mexico taxes, though, once someone passes away, what kind of issues and are there ways of minimizing the state income tax?
Well, currently the primary implication is at the federal level. That is the federal estate tax. As of right now, the state of New Mexico effectively does not have an inheritance tax. So the planning that you need to do really at this point is at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, each individual can leave an estate of $3.5 million without any estate tax. A husband and wife with a proper plan can leave an estate of $7 million without any estate tax. And it's not a terribly complicated plan by any means. Failing to do that, you know, the government's cut is the estate tax is at 45%. So it's a very, very significant tax.
Yeah. So the listeners sitting out there and they're now looking at each other, maybe perhaps a husband and a wife team, and they're saying, gosh, listening to Dan, we better get into Los Alamos National Bank and sit down with him or one of his colleagues to talk about how we can put a plan together because we don't have it. We have some assets. We have children. We want to pass it on to them. So what should they do? I mean, and when they come into your office, how do you guys help them as the first step?
What we do, and again, I would encourage anybody that's listening, you know, whether it's at Los Alamos National Bank or with your estate planning attorney, is to make an appointment with them and sit down and go through exactly what your situation is. A lot of people will tend to think that, oh, I did an estate plan 20 years ago, so I'm fine. An estate plan is something that it constantly should be looked at.
It's a living document. I mean, it keeps moving and changing, doesn't it?
It is, and the laws change, and our individual lives change. You know, circumstances in our families change. People die, a variety of different problems, and you know, those things need to be addressed in the estate plan. So, again, whether it's you come in to see me, which I would be delighted to sit down with you, call your estate planning attorney, make an appointment with him or her, and lay out exactly what your situation is, what your assets are. Do you have any children that you're particularly concerned about leaving them a large sum of money? Do you need to hold their assets in trust for their benefit for a number of years after you're gone? So there's a lot of different things that you need to think about.
And when you have someone that comes in and sits down with you and goes through this process and you set up a plan for them, do you automatically have some kind of a tickler file where maybe 5 years down the road you'll get back to them and say, and maybe it's time for us to sit down again and update your plan?
A lot of attorneys do. What they'll do is they will send out a letter every 1-2 years, whatever it is, or upon, you know, a significant change in tax laws. This is a good example.
Yeah.
Congress is fairly regularly changing the estate tax and gift tax laws. So a lot of attorneys do send out those letters saying, hey, it's been a year or two since we've sat down. Why don't you come in and see us and just make sure that it's still up to date. Short of that, I think probably the most important thing you can do is get your estate plan out at least once a year, read through it again. For most people, it's something they do. It was not a fun experience, and, you know, they don't want to look at it again. They tend to forget what the documents even say. But I really do encourage you to get those documents out, read through them, make sure they still say what you want them to say, and that you understand what it says.
Right. And everybody's situation is different, but are things like considering life insurance part of a plan that you would recommend that people look at doing?
Absolutely. That's all part of the estate planning process. As I mentioned earlier, you know, estate planning is a very, very broad term that includes a lot of different pieces. It's not just your last will and testament or your trust. As you just mentioned, Ray, you know, life insurance may certainly play a very significant part of somebody's estate plan.
Uh-huh. And also having things like a health care directive as part of the plan, these are important components.
Yeah, absolutely.
As well.
A health care directive, a financial power of attorney, these are documents that can be, you know, invaluable. Too many people that I've seen, at least in my experience as an attorney, I probably tend to see the things that have gone wrong. But, you know, without that health care directive, without that financial power of attorney, you're in a situation where you're not, the family members are not going to be able to make decisions for this individual who is now incapacitated, for instance, in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, having all of these pieces in place can be invaluable.
And let's talk a minute about the health care directive, because we're on the verge of perhaps the Congress passing this new health care plan. And I have a health care directive as part of my own estate plan. Talk a little bit about the importance of having that, though, because circumstances can arise unexpectedly and really dramatically change your situation.
Sure.
Talk a little bit about it.
Here in New Mexico, what we have is what's referred to as an advance health care directive. It's a two-part document. The first part is what we used to refer to as the living will, your end-of-life decisions. Do you or do you not want extraordinary means of life support to be applied? The second part of that document is the health care power of attorney. In other words, you're appointing somebody to make health care decisions for you if you are unable to do so. And hopefully, you know, that part of the document is something that you're never going to need.
Right.
If you pay an attorney to prepare that document, I sincerely hope that you've wasted your money on that. But
yeah,
there's too many situations where, you know, we never know. Our incapacity does occur, and somebody, you know, would be able to step in and make health care decisions for us.
And if you're a sole owner of a business, having a succession plan could be actually part of the estate plan you put together, right?
It can be a huge part of your estate plan. And that, you know, for many individuals that do have a business, that is probably next to their home, may be their largest asset. And too many people don't take the time to address this as part of their estate plan. What is going to happen? You know, we all tend to assume that we're all going to live another 30 years or whatever it is, and a premature death is not something that we plan for, and what's going to happen to that business in that event.
Yeah. We've got about a minute left here, Dan, before we have to close out the show. So if you wanted to give 1, 2, 3, the bullet points to the listeners today about the importance of putting a plan together, what would those 3 points be?
I think, you know, the most important one, I think, is providing the instructions to the family. I've been involved in literally thousands of estates in my career, and I've seen far too many families, I hate to say fall apart, but, you know, perhaps end up in litigation with each other because the instructions that mom and dad left behind were either lacking completely or were inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
So that is probably the most important piece. The second most important piece of that is if you have children that you need to provide for, specifically younger children, you know, leaving them a large sum of money probably is not what you want to do. Leaving those assets behind for them in trust can be, you know, a very good thing for those kids. So I think, you know, those are probably the two most important aspects of your estate planning. And then thirdly, the estate tax implications. The estate taxes really probably shouldn't drive your estate plan, but it is certainly a component. And I think most people are surprised to find out how large their estate is and that they do have a taxable estate. And with some pretty simple planning, they can significantly reduce the amount of money that would otherwise be paid to the federal government.
Gosh, you gave some great advice today. Dan Monte with Los Alamos National Bank, you really brought a lot of valuable and useful information to our listeners today. I appreciate it very much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And I want to thank you, Gino Thompson, my producer, and Kate and Jane back at Santa Fe Realty Partners for assembling a super show today. Thank you for tuning in today, and please give us a call at 989-8900 if you need some real estate assistance. So until next Sunday at noon right here on 1260 KTRC, I send you good luck and fortune in all things real estate.